Chapter 13. Transcendence. The half-mage stroked the hand of the woman beside him, marvelling at how soft it felt. She rewarded him with a smile that, in the circumstances, almost broke his shrivelled excuse for a heart. The thundering blast of a horn split the air, and the giant transporter ship carrying the weapon that heralded Thalassa's reckoning crawled into harbour. It was almost of a size with the two great flagships of the First and Second Fleets, but this vessel carried no artillery and only the most skeletal of crews. Most of the main deck was occupied by a metal cylinder so vast it rivaled the towers Eremil had glimpsed from Thalassa's harbour, a monstrous barrel of steel that pointed towards the heavens. Isaac had referred to it as the Breaker of Worlds, and had intimated that in this mysterious time before, it could be deployed in much more compact form. A factor that ultimately led to the mass devastation of their ancestral homeland when thousands were utilised at the same instant. The Fade and mankind. We both share a proclivity for mass murder that would humble the gods, except we killed them too. The half-mage felt Monique's fingers squeeze his hand. He tore his gaze from the harbinger of their doom and met her gaze.
"Will it hurt?" she asked him. "When it is our turn, will it hurt?"
Eremil shrugged helplessly.
"I do not believe so. It will be instantaneous, or so I understand. We will not have time to feel pain. 1 second we shall exist, the next..."
He trailed off, unwilling to finish the sentence.
"But you are a wizard. Your magic can protect us?"
The hope in Monique's voice made him feel 6 inches tall. "And I am barely 3 feet on a good day."
"My magic will not protect us," he said weakly. "Even the White Lady's magic will not protect her city or her people. The weapon that will be deployed from that ship, the Breaker of Worlds, unravels the fabric of all things. The explosion will be vast. Nothing will survive for miles around."
A trumpet sounded, and the half-mage stared down the docks to where a procession of Fayard approached to meet the incoming vessel. General Severian strode purposefully along at the front of the group. At his side was a female Fayard, whom Eremil remembered being present at the bloodbath on the day of his intended execution. Isaac and his sister Melissan, whom he had once known as Lorgana, followed behind, a score more of the ancients marching behind them. Resting over Severian's right shoulder was a much larger and bulkier version of the deadly hand cannons the ancients employed.
"Time for us to go," Eremil muttered.
They had needed a break from the refuge, not to mention Mard and Ricker's endless litanies of crazed bullshit. Privacy was a luxury afforded to no one under the current occupation of the city. Strange though it seemed, the harbour was about the safest place for a notorious pariah. Unlike his fellow Dorminians, the Fayard bore him no particular ill will. No more ill will than Eremil had for the rats that infested the refuge. He would be reckoned when the time came, and that was that. Petty cruelty was, it seemed, for the lesser races. As Eremil and Monique departed the harbour and began the trek back to the refuge, a melodic voice the half-mage knew well called out his name. He twisted around to see Isaac gesturing at him to remain where he was. To Eremil's rising panic, the adjudicator uttered something to General Severian. Sudden dread turned to pant-pissing terror when the two began making their way towards him and Monique. Not only them, but Isaac's sisters also. "Shit," he thought, trying not to let fear master him. "Keep calm. If they wanted you dead, you would already be in a hole in the ground, or, more likely, ash drifting in the wind." Monique clung to him, and he knew he had to keep it together for her. Isaac and his sisters he could somewhat countenance. It was the white-haired general who utterly terrified him.
"So this is the human," uttered Severian, staring down at the half-mage with eyes blacker than despair, older than the land itself.
It might have been a question, except that the cold certainty in Severian's voice left absolutely no room for doubt.
Your pet.
I would not word it that way, sir, replied Isaac.
Melisson laughed, a sound like the tinkling of 100 silver bells.
I fear my dear brother is quite besotted with his little project. I dare say he might even consider him a friend, preposterous though the notion is.
The other female of a side of Severian raised a perfect hand and flicked away a strand of golden hair. The ancients were a uniformly beautiful people, tall and slim, and with features that might have been carved by the most skilled sculptor. But this particular Phaed was truly beyond words.
Is this its life partner?
She asked curiously, giving Monique a tiny nod.
It is a he, Nim,
Isaac said gently. The look he gave her was one of pure joy. Eremul had never had a brother or sister. Whether it was the adjudicator's empathetic projection, or just the expression on his face, he knew for that one instant the intensity of the love one sibling might feel for another. The passing of it left him empty. As it always did, bitterness welled up to fill the void.
Humans rarely have life partners as we understand them, Melisson interjected.
The half-mage could feel the venom dripping from her voice.
They're like dogs. They rut and then leave to find another with whom to share their seed. A consequence of their minute lifespans.
The half-mage wanted to spit his anger in the arrogant face of the Phaed, who had manipulated him so effortlessly. It had been Melisson's doing that he had come within seconds of dying at the end of a noose, and now she dared insult the only thing that gave his life any meaning. I have spent my 35 years on this earth being ridiculed, spat upon, and made to feel utterly worthless by my own kind. I can tolerate whatever you can throw at me, but don't insult her. The four perfect immortals were staring down at Monique, as if she were a fly-speckled piece of shit. Three, he corrected himself. Isaac seemed discomforted by the whole situation. General Severian placed a gloved hand on the shoulder of the female named Nim.
For 1,000 years, Nimuvia has been promised to me. One day we will life-bond and spend the rest of eternity together. I pity you transient things and your illusions of relevancy, of permanency.
Don't do anything rash. Don't do anything rash. Eremul repeated it over and over, the gnashing of his teeth his only pathetic outlet for his rage. He so desperately wanted to unleash his magic against this Severian, but fear stopped him. Fear, as well as Isaac's words. Magic runs off us like water. The elves, too, thought to bring their sorcery to bear against us during the Twilight War. It availed them little. Severian was 5,000 years old. If killing this legendary general with magic were easy, it would have happened a long time ago.
The Breaker of Worlds awaits our inspection,
the general announced, repositioning his shoulder cannon and spinning on his heel.
We have wasted enough time on these animals.
Eremul finally snapped.
Don't call her an animal, you arrogant fuck!
He snarled. Severian paused. Melisson whirled around, mouth twisting in anger. Nim gasped softly. Isaac just closed his eyes, as if he had half expected this outcome, but hoped tragedy might be avoided nonetheless. The general turned slowly.
An arrow struck Severian. It hit him in the chest and skittered off his silver armour, though judging by the pain that flashed in his obsidian eyes, the impact hurt.
Eremul too squealed in pain, a result of Severian's empathetic projection, stronger even than Isaac's. Battle cries tore through the air. Pouring out of an alley came a mass of armed men. There were ex-Crimson Watch, militiamen, veterans of the brief wars with Shadowport and Thalassa, as well as common citizens brave enough to pick up a sword in a desperate last stand against the city's occupiers. The ambush had been planned perfectly, or else had proved incredibly fortuitous. The rest of the Fayard party was hundreds of yards away, leaving the four officers utterly exposed.
For Dorminia!
And other largely uninspired but commendable cries went out. In spite of everything, Eremul felt a small surge of pride. Someone in the city had organised a last-ditch resistance. He was shocked to see a familiar face among the rebels. Lashen, the one-time harbour master, and a man Eremul had humiliated twice in the recent past. Lashen's eyes locked on the half-mage as he charged, a short sword clutched awkwardly in his recently healed hand. Eremul had broken his fingers beneath the wheels of his chair back in the summer. The man had been a coward among cowards then, but he had found his courage from somewhere.
Traitor!
Lashen screamed, spittle spraying from his mouth. It's not what it looks like, the half-mage wanted to protest. Clearly, whoever had organised the attack had not trusted him enough to be involved in their plans. He understood that. He didn't even care if they killed him while taking down the Fayard command. But Monique was in their path too. There were at least 30 armed men already within bowshot, and more behind them. The three adjudicators stepped out to defend their commander, but Severian raised a hand, and they fell back. Alone, the white-haired general took a single long stride towards the massed ranks of the ambushers. What happened next caused Eremul to freeze in disbelief, halfway through mumbling a protective spell intended to shield Monique. General Severian leaped impossibly high, spinning in midair just as the first wave of arrows descended. The projectiles bounced off his twirling cloak, battered aside as though the black fabric were woven steel. Halfway through his mighty leap, Severian somehow levelled his shoulder cannon with one hand. The noise that followed was like a row of black powder barrels exploding one after the other. An endless stream of tiny metal projectiles tore through the air, punching holes in Dorminian bodies and leaving them reeling away, spraying blood, or collapsing stone dead to the cobbled streets. Like a miniature whirlwind, Severian hit the ground. Now his crystalline longsword was in his hand, and he covered the remaining 20 paces to the rebels in a straight dash that seemed to bend space and time. He slashed one way and then the other, all perpetual motion, his translucent blade hacking off limbs and cutting men in half like a great whirring saw, so fast the half-mage couldn't even begin to follow his movements. Lashen was one of the last to die, his sword hand sent flying in one direction, while his head sawed off in another. In fewer than 10 breaths, it was over. The docks were a red mess of hacked-apart bodies and spreading pools of blood. Severian bent to retrieve his shoulder cannon, then straightened and sheathed his sword in one perfect motion. He blew softly on the smoking tip of the barrel and strode over to Eremul.
"Anger is the hallmark of the lesser races," he stated, "of the animals and beasts. True power is obtained through transcendence. Your words mean nothing. They are the bark of an angry dog. Tomorrow, the city of Thalassa will be reckoned. This city will follow it. Make the most of your final days."
General Severian turned and strode towards the waiting ship. Melissan and Nim quickly followed behind him. Isaac hesitated. Then, with an apologetic glance at Eremul, he joined the rest of his kind in inspecting the Breaker of Worlds, the terrible weapon that would finally be employed on the morrow. The half-mage stared straight ahead, towards the north of the city and the refuge.
"We are leaving now," he said hollowly.
In his shame, he couldn't look at Monique. The dampness of his robes told its own story. He had pissed himself.